This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is Marketing Monday with your lovable, surly, and sometimes eccentric hosts, Tyler and Philip.
From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is Marketing Monday, a show about marketing that is generally released on Mondays, marketing specifically for the themed and entertainment attraction industry. And joining me for the first time in several months is my co-host, Tyler. Tyler, welcome back.
I'm back, bitches. No, I'm kidding. It's nice to be back. And I know I talked about this last time I was on, but just so everyone knows, I am done with school. I am gadgeated with my bachelor's degree. And so now that I don't have all of that craziness just weighing over me, I'm glad to be back on the podcast. And I hope everyone had an awesome trans world. I got to speak with a great many of you. And I know I was a lot of people, you know, fans of the show came up and said how much they love listening to the podcast, which, you know, makes my little hunter heart happy. And I know Philip got recognized a couple times just by his voice, by the various shows he's done. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it was a little creepy, a little bit.
It was, wasn't it?
So in lieu of our regular, or should I say irregular, programming schedule, today we're going to go over the presentation that I gave at West Coast Honors Convention, because Tyler didn't get to West Coast Honors Convention, so he didn't get to hear it, and I already put it together, and it's available, and I taught the class at West Coast, so I'm going to present that information to you guys listening, and you can, of course, give us feedback, send in questions, etc.
And I'm going to sit here and basically put on – I'm going to take off the marketing hat a few times, and I'm going to put on my haunted house owner hat. And I'm going to try to come up with questions and offer feedback for Philip that I think you guys would have. Now, of course, if you guys have any questions or recommendations – you know, hit us up on all the social medias, because that would be awesome. But I'm going to try my best to come up with questions or interject things where I think that you guys would be interested in. I hope that's clear.
Clear enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave out some of the elements because they are elements that are best served in a physical classroom environment, but that's okay. We're still going to get to the core of the issue. So my presentation was on social media marketing and how it fits into your haunt and how it fits into the larger marketing plan. The presentation is actually available online. So those of you listening, if you're in the U.S., you can text the code HAUNTER, 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 to 33444. I divided it into four sections. The first two are theory-based, so we talked about defining marketing and then defining content funnels, and then we went into a practical example and a Q&A. We started off kind of getting everybody on the base of what marketing is, and Tyler and I have talked about this a lot on the show, but the definition that I'm sticking with is renting out space in the mind of the consumer until they're ready to make a purchasing decision. So, for example, if you're looking to buy Fog, where would you go?
Master Fog.
When was the last time you interacted with Master Fog?
At Transworld.
What type of interaction was that? Was that seeing them there at a booth?
Yes.
Was it an ad?
Yes, it was a meeting at the booth.
So this is what we're talking about, right, with this concept of marketing demonstrated right away. So when you think of Fog or you think of a need that you have, right, Master Fog has rented out space in Tyler's mind.
Yes.
And he's not ready to buy currently right now, but, you know, when he's at that, it's all a matter of keeping top of mind until Tyler's ready to buy Fog. But that's what we're looking to do with marketing, is really just stay top of mind. So, of course, going to physical events are part of a marketing plan, just like attending Transworld and doing contests and et cetera. So now that we've kind of got that out of the way, I went into talking about the customer experience funnel, I kind of just took many different concepts and put them into an illustration to demonstrate what I needed to in terms of social. So the point of the graphic is to illustrate that social has to work in conjunction with your other marketing efforts to pull, to keep top of mind and to pull somebody down this experience funnel until they get to a purchasing decision. Typically, you go from wide, from very low relevant type advertising or marketing tactics up to very specific, very targeted, and very relevant. So it's a process, and you're pulling somebody in. And ideally, you want to get them as close to your owned properties as possible, right? You want to get them. So for example, to put that in easier terms, you want to be able to communicate and stay top of mind with your customers directly. So via email, via text, via your website, because those are things that you own because they are cheaper and you own them and you can control them, as opposed to billboards, radio, TV, because you don't own them, they're higher cost, they're less targeted, right? And you don't really control them. They can change the rules. So that's kind of the name of the game. We pull in people into this funnel and we try and get them as close to the center of the funnel as possible, with has the most velocity, and then get them all the way down the experience into making a purchasing decision.
All right, I have a haunter question. Now, I own my Facebook. Is that a suitable way to stay in contact with our customers?
Why do you think you own your Facebook?
Well, I manage it.
You don't own your Facebook. Facebook owns Facebook. And at any time, Facebook can change the rules. Facebook can kill all of your organic reach. Facebook can decide that they're going to charge you $5 to make any post. Facebook can do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it, with hardly any ramification to them, because what Facebook cares about is the user experience, just like Google. It actually makes your experience as a user on Facebook better because you only get content that is relevant and targeted to you, so it makes your experience better. But, you know, conversely, then brands are having to bid on the attention of people, and whoever wants to pay the most and targets the best, you know, they get the attention. So Facebook can change that algorithm. They can kill your organic reach. They can do whatever they want. So you don't own your Facebook.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought up that, though, because social is still not in the owned category, right? Social is still rented because you don't own it. So owned are, if you have a list of customers, that you have their phone numbers, right? Mailing addresses, email addresses, your website. If you can train your customers to keep coming back and checking your website, you know, that is the best case scenario, right? Because it's relevant, it's directly to them, etc. So just imagine a funnel and imagine the wide end illustrates higher reach. You know, they have a wider target, but they're less relevant. And then when you get down, as you move down the funnel, they are more targeted but lower reach. So your social sits, can adjust itself to work anywhere in the funnel, but it best sits itself in the middle, right before you get to your owned properties. And that is because you can highly target very relevant messages using social to your target markets. Let's move into an example. Typically, according to Selling Halloween, their latest research over several years, 82% of haunt attendees are millennials. Within millennials, we know there are subgroups. Teenagers, right? College students, young adults, parents. Now let's look at figuring out which social platform. 75% of millennials use Facebook. 43% of millennials use Instagram. 35% of millennials use Snapchat. And Instagram has also launched, they are redoing their feed to act like Facebook. So no longer will Instagram's feed be chronological, but it will be sorted by what they deem your interest level to be, i.e., pay to play. yeah. Welcome to that age. So Facebook and Instagram are now both pay to play, and Snapchat is pay to play, but not officially. So
and by the way, in case anyone is wondering, Snapchat is really expensive.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it is pay to play. It's I guess all social is pay to play, because we'll talk about this at the final end, but in order to do it right, there's, you know, you have to dedicate resources to them. But
yeah, no haunted house in the industry on their own can buy Snapchat as an advertising platform.
Well, you can't. I mean, you can
if you have the money. Let's just say that.
Well, and you can do some things. There are things you can do. It is still very experimental because they don't have like Facebook does. They don't have the platform yet where you go on there and you just pay like a few dollars, right? They don't have that that system. It's a big buy-in, but you can kind of cheat. What some of the brands are doing now is kind of like, remember when we used to sponsor sports teams and stuff?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. Like you will search your local area for like a teenage, very popular Snapchat user, and then you'd give them free tickets and like a free shirt to your haunt if they agreed to do like a Snapchat review of it. So that's a way to advertise on Snapchat. It's still kind of like roundabout and people are figuring out how to use it best, but those are kind of what we're doing now is kind of sponsoring individual people.
Right.
Let's say, since I did this at West Coast Haunters Convention, West Coast Haunters Convention is in Portland. So I did an example with Portland. So we're going to specifically look at the target market of Portland State University students. So these are males and females between 18 and 23. So they're millennials, right? Now, when we're trying to figure out what our funnel is going to look like, what our experience, you know, how we're going to target this target market, we have a lot of different options, right? There's a rock station called KGON. It's a rock station there in Portland. There's the website Travel Portland that also does a little magazine. There's the Portland Tribune. There's the KPSU, which is the Portland Student Radio. There's a Portland student newspaper called The Vanguard. And then there's social. And, of course, there's a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, those are the examples that I have for the class to illustrate what I mean by relevance and this whole idea of targeting. We're trying to get these PSU students to come to our haunt. KGON, the rock station, that's pretty high up there, right? The rock station has much higher reach. But in terms of targeting these 18 and 23-year-olds, it's very low relevance to them, right? Because it's a local radio station, you know, it's not Spotify, it's not Pandora, it's not online, etc. Same thing, Travel Portland, not very higher reach because you're also then by proxy hitting people that are just traveling Portland, right? But it's not very relevant just for those students.
Yeah, it's not relevant to the local market.
Yeah, so it would be difficult to craft a message that speaks like exactly to those students. So Portland Tribune, a little closer because in general, right, visitors don't get a local newspaper. Like, you know, if you're visiting and you're just kind of a transient in that area, you're not picking up the Tribune. So it's a little more specific, and you could do something more relevant. You could put an ad in there that was expressly targeting PSU students, right? Then we get into the Portland Student Radio, much higher than KGON in terms of the relevance, how relevant it is to these people, you know, but less reach because the general Portland populace isn't listening to the student radio. But it allows you to much highly target those individuals, right? Same with the Vanguard, the student newspaper, the Vanguard. Then we get into social. So a one-page ad in the Vanguard is just over $1,000. For 1 month, which I thought was kind of high, actually.
That is, as a side note, kind of high.
I think that's kind of high. Like our student newspaper is not that expensive. So now it comes down to you, you know, putting all of these pieces together with your budget and deciding how you're going to do it. But with Facebook, and I demonstrated this in the class, you can pull up exactly this target market. You can pick exactly students that are in college currently that are attending PSU, that are between these ages, and you can even pick male to female device that they're viewing on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Then that would allow you to do, to craft this experience for these, this specific target market. So that's a bunch of marketing jargon and kind of theory land. So what would this actually look like? This could look like where you partner with a local, you know, a local bar, and you do some sort of meal deal because you know that this target market goes to one of the student restaurants, so you do a student deal. Or you could use these platforms to work with a bus, and you could have a bus that went from campus to your haunt, right? And you could work with the housing teams, and then you could target and advertise this experience using these highly targeted systems. So there's a lot of other things you can do. You know, you can be involved, you can, even that are on this list too, like the tailgates and et cetera, to really get to these people. But the point is that you want to think about each of your target markets in terms of this funnel, in terms of how they are experiencing your marketing and what you're doing, and that social plays a part along with everybody else. You know, social doesn't just stand alone. You know, you are going to need to do other types of advertising. You're going to need to do other things. And it all ties together to keep that space rented out in the mind of your target, of your different target markets. And I remember Tyler and I also talked previously about how a person should be reminded in excess of 10 times about your brand before you really, you know, before they're really ready to make a purchasing decision.
All right, so I have a haunt question.
Go ahead.
All right, my haunted house opens October 1st. When should I start doing all this stuff?
I would give yourself 2 months minimum, but I definitely would have the plan in place within the next month or so and have all this planned out so that you can attack it. And in some places, it's going to be a lot longer than 2 months. This PSU example, you're going to push someone through the funnel faster the more highly targeted and relevant the marketing message or the advertising to that person is. And at the same time, you know, you have to consider, well, if I need someone to interact with my brand about 10 times before they remember, that's a lot. You know, 10 is a lot. I mean, they hear your radio ad, they see your newspaper ad, then they read a review or something about your event online, and then they see your Facebook, your sponsor, your 2-3 of your Facebook sponsored ads. You know, that's at 8, and then by that point, I hope, you know, they're on your email, 9, and then 10, they're going to the website to check up on your tickets and your deals. That's the example. I have a few little last tips here before we get into Tyler asking me questions. Understand the importance of consistency, because just like a funnel and taking stuff down the funnel, right, if you don't keep pushing that thing down the funnel, then it's going to fall out, kind of like a whirlpool or a slipstream, you know, it kind of just... If it stops, all the momentum you built up just dissipates, which is why consistency is so important. And then, of course, you know, relevance. You want to make sure that what you're doing and where you're doing it is relevant for the context in which you're doing it. So,
this episode is sponsored by Haunt Nation, a website for Halloween and horror addicts. With over 32,000 members, Haunt Nation covers everything from reviews to how-tos. Oh, and it's free. go to www.hauntnationmag.com. That's www.hauntnationmag.com. And join the revolution that is Haunt Nation. This episode is sponsored by The Haunt Journal, a magazine for haunters and Halloween fanatics. The Haunt Journal is a monthly industry magazine to keep you in the spirit all year round. The Haunt Journal is available not only physically, but for the first time this month as an interactive app for Amazon Kindle, Android, and Apple devices. Enjoy the perfect marriage of content by reading articles enhanced with audio and video. Experience The Haunt Journal for free. That's right, free, today by visiting www.hauntjournal.com. That's www.hauntjournal.com.
Question one, what is the funnel that you keep referencing?
You mean, like, where can people find a picture of it? Or, like, what?
Are you referencing the sales funnel?
I made an illustration to, like, illustrate this presentation.
Got it. All right.
So, like, it's a little – that's why I said I kind of married together different concepts to illustrate, like, the idea of social in the context of other things.
Okay, so –
so it's a little bit sales funnel because it's the same concept, right, of like you're taking the person through multiple steps so they'll get to a sale.
Right.
So it's that's the initial concept, but then I added like a curve for relevance because I want to illustrate that, you know, like the more highly targeted the message is, the more impact it has on the person.
All right. So,
and then there's an arrow at the bottom for rented versus owned because you want to shift them from rented into owned. And in general, the rented platforms have less relevance and they're higher, but they're higher reach. And then there's a little bar for the represents the gate between the purchasing decision, you know, because once somebody crosses that gate, then like you're technically in the sales team territory. Like once someone's decided they're going to come, and then their question is, can I bring my dog through your haunt? You know, that's not marketing anymore. That's like your PR and your sales team, right? Like tag team that one. So
answer is no.
Yeah.
All right. So next question. Let's say I am a very small family-owned attraction, and all of this sounds really complicated and difficult. I don't have a lot of money. So what do you recommend we do now, and then what do you recommend we do in the future?
The first thing you need to figure out is your target markets. That's always, you know, what Tyler and I say every time. The first thing you need to figure out is who is coming to your haunt and who do you want to come to your haunt, et cetera. And then you don't really – like this type of – theory can be used with kind of any budget. So you come up with your target markets first, and then it's really just the process of thinking about what are the touch points going to be? Like, how are you going to interact with those target markets? So in your like family, small family run haunt, how many target markets do you have?
Let's just stick with the millennials for now.
Okay, that's too wide of a market because we already talked about how millennials have like different subgroups.
Let's say millennials currently in high school.
All right, so you're targeting high school age millennials. So you know you can have multiple. So you might have depending, and this is where you know the budgetary thing comes in. So depending on what's your highest yielding, you know, say you're all, because you said previously all millennials. So then you would be like, okay, do we have the budget to target the different subsets altogether, or are we just going to focus on teenagers? So say you're just focusing on teenagers. So now you're going to look and you're going to kind of put yourself in the mindset of the teenagers, and you're going to do some research and figure out all the different ways that you could reach these teenagers, right? All of your different marketing tools, your different ways that you could advertise, then you're going to put them all out, kind of lay them out in this funnel, and you're going to kind of think about your marketing message and how you're going to get that marketing message across using the different channels and decide which ones you're going to use. Right?
Right.
So it's really just a lot of like researching to be like, okay, what are the different ways I could do it? Well, we could participate in the trunk or treat at the high school. You could flip things up and you could actually target the parents of the teenagers, right? So you could be like, well, instead of even going directly at them, let's make a campaign that targets the parents. And then this parent campaign is going to, we're going to run that through Facebook and we're going to run that through the student club. We're going to get help from the student club and we're going to, you know, whatever. And then you set up your funnel for that, right? So you pick your target market from your research, not just go out and like wildly pick one. But I mean, you know, you look at your target markets, figure out which ones you're going to target, which ones you're going to spend money on. Then you start working on your marketing plan and you look at the different ways that you're going to target them, the different tools that you have, the different ways you can reach them, craft your marketing message, which we've talked about also previously, you know, because the benefit of what the teenagers are looking for is different from the benefits that the moms are going to want, right?
Right.
You're going to different marketing message. And then you look at translating that message through the funnel and set up like that. So,
all right, next question. Where can I find this research that tells me where the millennials are spending their time and consuming their media?
Okay, so do you mean like in your area, as in
yes.
where do you figure out in your area what your target market
is? Yes, where can I learn where our target market is spending their time?
Now that is the $1 million question, isn't it?
Are there
Tyler? Could is there some company I've heard of? I think it's called Fearworm.
Oh well,
and they do this thing where no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, as an advertising agency, yeah, you can, you know, you can look at Nielsen studies and things like that and their reports, but it is a $1 million question because
it's
very difficult to actually gauge where people are spending their time and consuming their media. I think you know, we see and I'm going off on a rant. Not a rant, just a tangent. We see people consuming their media more and more on advertising-less methods. So like Netflix, you know, the new Hulu that is ad-free, things like that. Even YouTube has introduced YouTube Red where it's ad-free.
Yeah.
So it is becoming increasingly more difficult to advertise to certain people. But the great thing about this is with younger millennials, they just don't have the money to pay for ad-free services. So we have to figure out how we can reach them currently. But anyways, that's off.
So I guess the quick answer to your question is that is the struggle in marketing.
Yes.
Right? Like that is the question, is like, where is my target market putting their attention? And how can I get it? And it goes back to originally like the definition of marketing, essentially like renting out space in mind of the consumer. Like that's attention, another word for attention. So this is not a question we can answer in this podcast, but we will be answering it in later podcasts, and hopefully I'll have a class on it and Tyler can do a webinar on it too. There are some it's kind of like guerrilla tactics, or, you know, I mean, there are marketing methods that you learn in school, and then there are things that you can just kind of go out and start figuring out.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like the guerrilla side of it. And, you know, it's a lot of work, and that's why it's worth so much, because it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of it's a lot of legwork because you are, it comes down to asking people in your target market what they do. It comes down to basically, so Tyler, like, you know a lot about what your wife does, right?
Yes.
You know, like, where she lives, when she spends her time, like,
so.
What she has, all that stuff. Like, and that took, like, how long did it take you to really, like, get to know her?
To really get to know her?
Yeah.
Still working on, but I learned the majority from her. I mean, the first month we were dating.
Yeah. So, a month on just one person, right? That's kind of like your, the process. It's really just getting to know these target markets as well as you know your spouse.
Right.
So it can be an endless process, and there are some like real tactics to do, and you know, you can just start, you know, open up dialogue, start talking to them, do focus groups, do surveys, go and just sit and watch, go to the restaurants around the high school and just ask them, when do the students show up here? What do they eat? What do they order?
One of the best things you can do I guess there's no really any way you can do this without looking like a stalker or really creepy, but just go to your what you know as the most popular mall in your area. Go and just look at all the kids staring right into their phone, and then really just walk up and be like, hey, what are you staring at? Like, I mean, I don't know like how to do that any better.
I mean, there are other ways of doing it, like you can identify social profiles of people online, and then you can track hashtags, and you can track where they're going and what they're doing. That's a little more advanced, and that's why I'm like, we can't answer all this like right now, because you can do all that, and it's a little more advanced. You have to know how to, you know, track hashtags and everything. But
I'm gonna cut you off. We're just gonna go because we can go into this for forever. But
yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna get you into the next question. So let's say I'm a haunt owner, and I don't have a lot of time to be perusing all these social media networks. Is there something out there that I could use to make this a little easier? To maybe I could post something on one thing that gets posted to them all. Is there a way to streamline my social media, like, marketing and advertising?
There is, but it is not effective. I mean, there is, but it kind of defeats the purpose, right? The purpose of... Let me back up. If you don't have time to do it, then cut what you're doing. Like, if you don't have time to run a Facebook and Instagram and a Snapchat, then just do whichever one is highest yielding for you. So that's answer one. Answer two is yes, there are automated systems where you can go in and schedule Facebook and Twitter, you know, and Instagram all on one platform. But you have to know what you're doing with that. Like, it can be used, yes, but you need to make sure that you're keeping it relevant, because each social network attracts people for different reasons. Like, they each have their own community, their own style, you know, different age groups use them for different reasons. So you don't want to be posting the same exact thing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because it defeats the purpose of being relevant.
All right. Should a haunted house advertise on Grindr? No, that's a no. You're supposed to say no.
I don't know. If there could be, I mean, it depends. I guess if you were doing like an LGBT like benefit costume party, then like why not?
I guess you're right.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know why it has to be LGBT, or I think I said that right.
I don't know. I think I probably said it wrong too. I don't even know.
I know, but it doesn't have to be that community though. I mean, it could be anyone. I mean, anyone uses Grindr, but. All right. What was my next question? Look, I done forgot. I tried to make a joke and I forgot.
So one last time, if you guys want to just go through the slides, I also put on there at the end the dimensions, because even though Facebook and Instagram are owned by the same company, they have different optimal dimensions and they have different text restrictions for their advertising, which is wonderful. So
it's great.
I put that, I also included that in the slide deck. So one more time, you guys can text the keyword Haunter, H-A-U-N-T-E-R, to 33444, and it will be emailed to you directly. And you can just actually reply to that email if you guys have any feedback or questions for Tyler and I. So we just text it in, get the PowerPoint to have, and then if you have any feedback, questions, etc., you can just reply to that email. So that might be the easiest.
All right, so Philip, to wrap this bad boy up and put a bow on it, if people wanted to learn more about other podcasts or maybe the Haunt Journal, where can they go?
www.hauntedattractionnetwork, as one word, .com. www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com. You can find all of our shows and shows from our show partners, including Frequent Fear Podcast and Haunt Topic Radio, along with the Haunt Journal.
That's Philip Hernandez. I am Tyler Barnett. You can find me at Haunt Design Kit or email me at tyler@fearworm.com. Y'all have a wonderful day.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.